Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are so encouraged to know that we can walk together in this journey and we can get free. Joining me this morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos. We're going to be talking to you in just a moment, a continual conversation that we're having with the 2050 crisis. 20% of women, Christian women in the church, are addicted to internet pornography. 50% of men are addicted to internet pornography. There's good news. We're shining light on it. There's hope for us, the church, and God's come to set us free.
Amen.
Give a shout out to our listeners this morning. We're excited about all those who are getting the yard signs around the nation, letting your neighborhoods know that they can listen to VFN Radio as well. Good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me this morning in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos. You know, we're talking in the first hour about the 2050 crisis, they're calling it, where 20% of the women in Christian women in the church are addicted to internet pornography, and 50% of the men are addicted to internet pornography in the church. But yeah, you know, we talked about statistically, and if you missed the first hour, you got to get it. This all is one conversation that we're trying to have it all at, and we're going to share more on the VFN Torch. I was talking beforehand about, you know, going to this movie called The Odd Life of Timothy Green, I believe it is, and all the emotions we went through, and the last ounce of courage, and how you know, emotional that was in the theater, and you have this bonding with this image thing going on, and it really felt, you know, and those two felt good, and it felt sad, and all these emotions, and then, you know, most, it's just like, but when it comes to sexuality, the church has gotten a place that, you know, Bob Jones says this. Bob Jones says that once we accept something as normal, that God says is not normal, it means we're in bondage to it. So you're just, if I'm saying, hey, this is just normal, then you tell me we need to talk.
Yeah.
You're looking unbound right now. And so you know how to help me.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, we get to get locked in. That's why it's good to cross-pollinate. That ain't normal. Anyway.
Right.
But imagery is so important, understanding that if you can go through all those emotions in a theater and watching this, a movie, for example, then what you're watching on your televisions, commercials, is a reason why they throw a naked lady over the front of a car. They aren't trying to sell you the naked lady. They're trying to seduce you and drop the car into your wallet.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
There's a reason why, you know, they do what they do sexually on media and advertising, because they have a limited amount of time to seduce you to buy the product. But if you think about this, that if I'm talking to you, this particular lady or this man, whoever's listening, that and I said, did they bother you? And you're going to say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't seen them. And that's very powerful, because if you don't look, it doesn't exist.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? But if you look, it exists. And, you know, one man said, actually it was a comedian years ago, Steve Martin said, he says, I want a beautiful, 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 beautiful wife on my right arm, but I want a wife with no neck. He's like, what are you talking about? He says, that way when I walk into a restaurant, every head turns but hers because she ain't got no neck. You know, as Christians, we are the bride of Christ, and we have to watch what happens to our neck. Mm-hmm. You know, where our eyes dart. You know, what are we looking at? And because God says whatever happens in our eyes happens in our heart, and if it happened in our eyes and heart, then our whole body is that. And He says we just did it. And so the church has gotten to the point where, you know, relationships are few and far between, and people are saying, well, no, I don't need a relationship. It's like, you know why? Because you have a relationship with images. You rather watch movies and what you see on your computers and imagery instead of actually be with a person. Well, that hurts, and I don't want pain. I don't want to die to myself, because you can tell an image what to do. Mm-hmm. You can tell it. You can control it. You can tell it, you know, that this is, you can say, okay, enough. And you turn off the movie, you turn off the imagery, you turn off whatever that's seducing you. Mm-hmm. Well, it could be anything. It could be reality television, you know, I don't know. And you're in control of that imagery coming in. You can choose to go to the theater or not go to the theater. But people, these things called people, like you,
yeah,
it takes, you got to die to yourself to have a relationship with people.
Yep.
And it's almost like, and that's a good thing, by the way. They know that we love God by our love for each other, not by the image we give somebody, the love we have for each other. And of course I love you. Didn't you see my Facebook post? You know? And it's real awkward when you see family who doesn't even communicate in real life have all these emotional interactions in some social media network.
Wow.
And so they want to give an impression that there's some sort of relationship going on. When there isn't, and that's just it's an image. And we're supposed to have genuine relationships. And what happens is that the enemy said that part of us is being seduced and having images, made to look like mortal man. I mean, think about it. In Romans, Romans chapter 1, verse 22, he says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man.
Hmm.
You know, this imagery, like what's in somebody's Facebook, maybe it's pretty cool, you can connect, but you're not really connecting with them relationally. You're connecting them with imagery. And that's not really, you don't really know them if you don't know them. Just because the name, the button, friend, doesn't mean they're your friend. You know? Right. I mean, what a brilliant idea. You know, there's going to be a button that says, I'm saved in the future. You just click it. You walk in and you say a prayer and you click. It's like, yeah, I'm saved. I clicked the button. I'm saved. It was like, They named the button wrong. It's in religion. And so he says, think about it. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God. And we're made in the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
The men are, when you see a man and a woman, you're seeing the image of God. We're made in the image and likeness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like. And it's really cool how imagery works. You know, it all works off of light, and light will reflect on an object, and that light bounces back and comes into your eye and goes to the back of your retina of your eye. And then your brain flips it upside down. It goes to the back of your brain, and it translates what the light you just saw, because it was turned into an imagery.
Right.
That's how it works. And so light, it requires light to see things. And so the enemy says, I will pervert that, and I'll create actors and you know, sexual things and all this kind of stuff. And I will feed into them images that will reflect back on their retinas, that'll go back into their minds, that'll sink down into their heart. I mean, Jesus said in the beginning, he says, whatever's in your eyes, in your heart, and you're full of it.
Right.
But right now, I want you to listen to Freedom Begins Here, as they're talking about what's really going on in the church. Listen up.
Hi, I'm Bryson Moore, and I help lead the team at Freedom Begins Here. You may have never heard of us, and that's okay. But there's no doubt that you've dealt with, directly or indirectly, the crisis that we're out to tackle. As Chuck Swindoll says, it's the number one secret sin in our churches. Before I go into who we are and what we do, I want to give you some statistics that explain why we do what we do. In the next few minutes, as you're listening to this, over 300,000 people will have viewed pornography on the internet. In fact, porn is the number one thing people search for online, more than sports, more than news, more than cheap airline tickets. You probably know that porn is a big business. What you may not know is that the pornography industry is larger than Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink combined. And you can find over 400 million pages of pornography online. That's more than one page for every person who lives in the United States. Almost half of everyone who uses the internet, 43% of us, look at pornography online. This is the one that breaks my heart every time I say it. Kids ages 12 to 17 years old are the largest consumers of internet pornography. Most of them are getting hooked while doing research for a homework assignment. Now, what if I told you that 7 out of 10 lay leaders in your church are looking at pornography once a week? Then what if I told you that 50% of the men in your church and 20% of the women are addicted to pornography? You would probably say, how can that be? And we've talked to hundreds of pastors across the country. Some hear those statistics and say, not in my church. Some say it's worse than that. What do you think? And we can talk about statistics all day long, and we can argue about the surveys that have been conducted. But when it comes down to it, all this research tells us is that we're facing a crisis of epidemic proportions, and it's time for us to do something about it. But it's not about numbers. It's about people. People you know and people you love. Think about the people who are closest to you who might be struggling. Think about you. Where do you stand on this? There's a stigma surrounding this issue that makes it difficult to talk about. And we've ignored it so long that it's no longer about those people who meet in a recovery group once a week. It's no longer about them. It really is about us. All of us are affected in some way. At Freedom Begins Here, we want to provide you with the tools to help you begin the conversation about pornography and sexual sin, and then equip you to do something about it. We've partnered with the best in the world to bring you the most relevant solutions possible. We've included Dr. Gary Smalley, America's leading marriage expert. He shares from his 30 years of ministry experience. Gary's pastor, Ted Cunningham, shares from his pastoral experience of dealing with this issue in his church. We've included Mark Laser, the leading Christian authority on sexual addiction. We've included Covenant Eyes Accountability Software Trials. We've partnered with the Christian band Rush of Fools to bring attention to the crisis. We spent the better part of a year traveling the country, capturing real stories from real people.
It's totally amazing, you know, what Freedom Begins Here is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to make that available to you on the VFN Torch. Those statistics are horrific.
Wow.
But understand, we can't say all of a sudden it's bad because we know it's there. It was there, and we just thought, hey, it's just me struggling with it, or it's just a friend of mine, or it's just this one church. No, it's the whole church at large.
Right.
And as we talked about, we have to understand how is this happening, and zero tolerance is very, very important. There's crazy things going on in the mindset of the church. It's just really strange, the thought life and the thought processes that are going on, and we just pick a few sins out, and we say, those are the sins that are bad,
right,
and those are the sins that send you to hell, and we don't deal with sin in general and the cause of it and understanding that the person who is maybe in sin, that God loves them. And they need to understand that God can set them free, or God loves them as much as he loves the one that's actually condemning them.
Right.
There's some crazy things going on in the church. And these things, these paradigms, we start working on these paradigms, it'll help us out. And I'm going to spend the last part of this program, you know, sharing with you, you know, some testimonies, some people that got free, some resources, some accountability, and what you can do to stay free and hopefully give you the right kind of mindset that helps you not only be free yourself, but not to do behaviors and other sins that cause people in your family to end up in these particular bondages. I know one particular man, for example, he taught on marriage for years.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord spoke to me in the very beginning of watching his ministry. I'm thinking, like, well, he's taken on an Ahab spirit. And the way he's presenting marriage, he's presenting it out of order, because the husband is the head of the wife, like Christ is the head of the church. I mean,
right.
and the wife is to submit to the husband in that order. It should be that kind of order, not women and men. I'm talking about just marriage. But predominantly, he was under his wife, and she was over him, and he taught on marriage for years. Well, he just, in his 60s or 70s, you know, came out and said, all those years I was addicted to pornography.
Wow.
And that's what happens. If you're out of order in one area of your life, it will migrate into another mm-hmm. area of your life. You're not, what happened even in the Promise Keepers movement, which is wonderful, everybody was trying to deal with the byproduct of sin,
mm-hmm.
you know, hold me accountable. Oh my goodness, hold me accountable. And it's like, if you don't deal with the root of the sin,
right,
it's just going to stay there. And every time a small men's group would get together, go, oh my goodness, I need help. I mean, it's like, was this a counseling session?
Right.
But nobody would, not everybody, but predominantly people were just feeling bad because they had these things in their life and they need to get, but the root of it was, sir, you got to go back home and get your home in order.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when we were interviewing Joe Scarborough years ago, and he's a congressman. Remember that?
Sure do.
And Joe was there, and he said he had to go home. They actually told him, don't even come back to this Bible study right. at Congress unless you get your home in order.
Mm-hmm.
And his home was out of order. And right now, the church is out of order, marriage is out of order, family's out of order, and there's order to things. At the same time, the crazy stuff is this, that a church that is out of order is trying to tell the world how to be in order. It's like, right. It's not going to be good.
Mm-mm.
It's not going to be good. Some crazy things are going on. I mean, you think about it. When we have women and men publicly, verbally assaulting someone for how they are raising and disciplining their children, why they themselves secretly killed and aborted their child in their mother's womb, and they're not going to tell anybody that I'm struggling with the root of this thing. The reason why I'm attacking you is I feel so bad about what I did to my own child.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy because, hey, you know, I can empathize with you a little bit, but get off my back.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to raise mine.
Right.
You didn't raise yours. Or we have men in the church who are filled with hatred towards homosexuality and lesbianism, while at the very same time are having an adulterous affair with an image on their computer every single day or week. It's twisted. Like, come on. Are you serious? 50% who actually filled out the survey.
Right.
And it's like, come on. We're not going to win. It's a trap. The enemy's accusing you to them to you. It's going to be in a big fray instead of us all going to the cross and saying, we need Jesus and there's mercy for that and God can forgive and we can get on the right path. You know, knock that stuff off. You're going to be deeper and deeper into this thing if you keep on, you know, it's not going to be a win situation. We have emasculated men who lost the battle of trying to walk in their marriage and family as God called them to, as his wife and children rule over him. He's in the back room, the back office, or a small closet somewhere, lying down before Jezebel's gods, Asherah poles, Baal, Dagon, while his wife and children say nothing about it because they have his ring.
Mm-hmm.
They have his authority. They're deciding where it's going to go and how it's going to go. And that's all they wanted from Ahab in the first place.
Right.
What's this ring?
Right.
The last battle that we as the church are going to face, it appears, based on Malachi 4, 5, and 6, is going to be a battle between the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
They both have prophets. They both are very religious. A prophet, somebody says, I've heard from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But one leads you into all kinds of sexual sin, and one leads you to God. One is bold, which would be Elijah,
right,
and one is fierce, which is Jezebel.
Mm.
It makes you cringe. But let me tell you something. That's what put a lot of people into sexual bondage today, because as soon as they heard the fierce voice and the threat and the overwhelmingness and the burden of responsibility and the bills and the demands and the marriage and all the things, and all of a sudden, if you just bow down before my God, Baal, Dagon, Asherah, I'll give you some escape. and all of a sudden you bow down before Dagon, the god they say that transfers through fantasy, mm-hmm. transports through fantasy. And while your head is bowed before Dagon, they slip off your ring. And when you get up, Sanson, you're ball-headed, your eyes are burned out, and you're bound.
Mm.
We can be free. We can be free. That's the end time battle. That's what's going to be happening. He said, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, that I would send Elijah. And he would turn the hearts of the fathers. Hello, fathers. You are not. That's why the whole outright attack has been against you. Because you're so significant that all hell's been broke loose against you. Everybody's trying to take your ring. And God's going, that ain't your ring to give up. I didn't ask you, do you want to be the head of your wife like Christ is at the church? I didn't ask you, do you want to, you're supposed to train your children for the way they should go. I didn't ask you. I told you, this is how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a privilege. It's a burden.
That's right.
But it's a way that you love God. This is the end time battle, which means, listen, that we can begin to turn our hearts. Fathers, you're very significant. That's why all hell's been launched against you. That's why all of a sudden you see across society that they're changing everything about men and their roles and what we do. And it's like, has anybody seen a man?
Yeah.
No, not a male. A man.
Right,
has anybody
right.
seen one? We need some around here.
Right.
And this one particular man says, okay, everybody that you are actually led by your wife, I want you to all get on this side of the room. And then those that are actually being, you're leading your marriage, you know, you get on the other side of the room. And everybody gets on one side of the room. There's one man on the other side of the room. And so the man comes up to him and says, wow. So you're on the side of the room. He says, you know, what made you want to get on the side of the room? He said, my wife told me to. You know, I'm not going to apologize for what God says.
That's right.
You know, who would really want it anyway? I mean, who would want to be president right now?
Mm.
You know, who would want to be a leader right now in the context? I mean, it takes a real man or woman that says, you know what, I'm willing to stand up like Michelle Bachmann or, you know, different candidates that are running. They got to stand up and just go, you know, I'm just going to just do what's right. We got to quit apologizing and adjusting to this stronghold, this Jezebelic stronghold, and say, you know what, it may seem peculiar to you because you're bound by that. But you know what? The only way I can stay free and keep the hair on my head and keep my eyes not being burned out and put in bondage is for me to keep my ring on and do what God's told me to do.
Right.
And this is an end time battle. And if I'm following God and you don't want to follow God, I'm not going to control you right. Impossible to do. But nor are you going to control me wrong. You know,
right.
I'm going to honor your decision. And he says, let the unbeliever depart.
Mm-hmm.
And this is serious stuff. Because a man would say, we've worked with a lot of men. He would say, you know, I would put my foot down. But if I put my foot down, I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose my children.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose my finance. And I'll lose everything. Because she will divorce me and she'll take it all. And then I'll send her money for her and her new husband or new boyfriend. Right?
Is that
That's
right.
Exactly. But this, is that not what they say?
That's the truth.
And so you sit quietly and you're hinged to your lazy boy, flipping images on a remote control, only long enough, buying enough time till everything's settled down so you can go back and bow before Dagon, Asherah, and Baal, and your imagery, your addiction. It's like, man, why do you think there's so much gender dysphoria right now? Why do you think it's going on? It's the enemy sowing all this stuff everywhere. And the church won't even talk about sexuality at all. And if they do, or if people admit things, all of a sudden people are trying to beat them up. It's like, really? How do you think you even got here?
Mm-hmm.
I got news for you. Your parents had sex. You know?
Yeah.
That's how you got here. And it's not evil. It's what God created.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy's caused what's good to be called evil. And now it's just like hiding a Twinkie behind a bookshelf. Now people are hiding what's normal because they feel ashamed about sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And now when somebody shows you any kind of attention or affection because you didn't hear it right, you think it's all sexual. And it's like you can't even be hugged. You can't even be touched because all you think about now is everything sexual. And then you start, the enemy accuses that person to you and is like, probably the last thing that was on their mind.
Yeah, right.
But it's like, it's not, it's the enemy's got you captive. We start, we have to, gonna have to get, because this is what the enemy does right now. I'm gonna tell you what he's doing. He's tying up the church in some sort of sexual addiction, because it's just shameful. It's the key word. You know, if you go back though and look, I mean, it happened all the way since the beginning of time. It's not nothing new. And God forgives. And then he's the one that gets you in this mess. And then he kicks you when you're down. And then he shames you. And the very ones that were used to do other things that got you into this captivity in the first place, that took your ring, is now beating the stew out of you. And the church was always saying, what's your problem? It's like, you ignorant, ignorant mind.
Mm.
Don't you see the strategy of Satan? Don't you see how this thing happens? Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw it.
Right.
You're criticizing me. What spirit are you of?
Right.
You know, it's important. We have to get free. Men are looking to get free. Men, man, you are called to be a man, to lead. Not a perfect man, but called to lead. You can shake off, and when you understand this, and you need to personally order, sir, zero tolerance. You need to get the DVD series. I don't think we're going to make it available on VFN TV because it's a whole series. You need to systematically go through it to progressively no longer be an Ahab and no longer be a Jezebel, or basically take on a spirit of Ahab or take on a spirit of Jezebel. You can get free. It's amazing how many people get free when they understand, oh, it had nothing to do with sexuality at all.
Mm-hmm.
The very thing that the enemy tried to hook me about, the thing shame me about and isolate me about, if we don't deal with this, it's not going to be good. When you find out what it's about your ring, ma'am. Mm-hmm. It's about your ring, sir. You're going to be free. We'll be right back. I got some great news for you when we come back. You know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together, and we got to get
right.
people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America,
mm-hmm.
then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums yep. weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history,
mm-hmm.
our history started with next step. And it was right. it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep, and they got back mm-hmm. seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had right. to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once.
Mm.
Once.
Wow.
And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today,
right?
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first? Like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham, when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, and VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back and what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about, you know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love, and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. See, we're talking about such a serious topic today, and we want to encourage you. We always talk about, we just look at what really is, the facts, and then we take the light of God's Word. And there's so much to this. Obviously, you can't just talk about everything on a short period of a radio program, but we have VFN TVs available for you.
Right.
And there's a reason it's available for you to help you out to go deeper in precept upon precept. By the way, in with each particular teaching, there is a discussion that comes with it that helps you go deeper and understand and the scriptures that are talked about and to get you to ask questions to yourself. And you can just go deeper in it because you want to know it. He says, this is what Jesus says. He says, if you follow my teachings, you're really my disciple. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
If only 17% of the church is reading their Bible, according to George Barna, and only 3% are even concerned about where they are in the context of what God's saying. In other words, 3% are concerned about, in the analogy that we're using, right, are they on the right road or not?
Mm-hmm.
And only 17% are even looking at the map. Is it really wonder? You really wonder why we're in this boat? Why we're all over the map? It's just like, okay, got it. I just need to get back in the Word.
Right.
And you literally have people that are wanting to get free without turning to Jesus. They try to get free while attending church every 2 weeks or something, showing up and watching church instead of being it. And he says, go make disciples of the nations. There's a reason why. Because when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're the next responsibility, what God wants you to do is to be his disciple. And that means you need to know his teachings and you need to follow them.
Mm-hmm.
It means you need to know the map and follow them. But look what comes. He says, but then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Right.
And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So reading your Bible, abiding with God, what we talk about all the time, it's not religion, please. It can't be. Religion will not set you free. It will put you in more bondage. As a matter of fact, right now, I believe the reason why there's so much bondage right now in America in the church is because it's such a religious spirit that's over the land. Chuck Pierce talked about it. And we got to break free from this religious spirit and get back in relationship with God and allow him to lead us out of this. And he says, but if you'll know the truth, and the truth then will set you free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So you can be free and you can stay free. And if you don't abide with the Lord, because Jesus said very specifically, it's impossible to be free and to stay free outside of abiding with him. You can't do it.
That's right.
But with him, you can.
Mm-hmm.
If that's you, you want to do it, go to iabide.org. iabide.org. We have a simple plan waiting for you right there. Just request it. It comes immediately to you. And you can, videos and stuff. It's just real simple. It's not hard. But Jesus will begin to walk you out and keep you out. And you're dependent on him, by the way.
Mm.
And that's not a negative thing.
That's right.
It's a positive thing. He's not going to get you free and say, okay, now go off and go back to your life of sin.
Mm.
He's going to say, go and sin no more.
Right.
And if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father that we can confess it, but we walk with him in the context of that. Addiction is very important to understand. Obviously, I'm not a doctor, but I am a human being.
Yeah.
And, we'll talk about, anyway. So that you have to first be a user before you get addicted.
Mm-hmm.
And if 50% of the men and 20% of the women are addicted, that means predominantly most of the church are users in some sort. They might not go to the direct nudity or something on pornography, but they're watching the movies and they're watching the cartoons that stirs up your children's heart or stirs up your spouse's heart that causes him or her or them to go deeper into what you opened up in their lives. So it's all the same.
Right.
It's not what's different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can be totally without any technology at all and begin to imagine something that's wrong, and now it's the same thing.
Right.
It's just this huge enticement that's going on. And so you can be free. So what do you need to do? Well, you need to be able to cry out to the Lord. You need to be able to cry out to the Lord. But in that, I want to be able to, there's a singer-songwriter. His name is Jimmy Needham. And Jimmy Needham had the same situation, but listen how encouraging it is and what God did for him. This whole journey, he talks about his journey here in a short little testimony.
My name is Jimmy Needham. I'm a singer-songwriter out of Dallas, Texas, a husband, a father, an ambassador of Christ disguised as a recording artist. My friends took me to one of our nearby parks. They said there was a magazine down in under one of the swing sets or something, and sure enough there was. And that for me really just began this appetite that I didn't have before, that it was the thing that I longed for, the thing that I was constantly interested in finding more of. I was first exposed to pornography when I was a fourth grader, 9 years old.
Well, the rumor spread, and they never forget.
It took maybe the better part of 6-7 years for it to hit me that, hey, this is something I really can't go without. So it was my first week of my sophomore year of high school, and I had one friend who was a grade above me. His name was Brooks, and Brooks was sort of that guy in my school who was sort of remarkably Christian. But at the time, I just felt like, I feel like such a hypocrite hanging with this guy, me saying I love the Lord, and I really don't. I had no love for him. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. We were on our way home, and I just looked over to Brooks and I was like, hey man, I need to talk to you about something. And so for the next hour, I sort of spilled my heart out to him, told him everything that I was involved in. And weeping, just something broke inside me. And just, I saw my struggle for what it was, dark and twisted and broken and sinful. Brooks began to articulate for me the hope that he had found in this man that he kept talking about, Jesus. He wasn't just some distant God that I paid homage to on Sundays, but that he came to liberate us now from our struggles, that we could, in this life, as we embrace Jesus as Savior, find freedom from sin, from addiction. My struggle actually began to increase as I became a Christian and started walking with the Lord. And for the better part of 4 years after that, I mean, it was a relentless battle and struggle for me, wanting to love and serve Jesus and be free, but then constantly doing the things I didn't want to do. I remember one night, I was in my room. I stumbled in sin that night. And it was sort of, for me, the last straw. You know, I felt like I've been dealing with this for so long. And so I just remember praying, God, if you're even still around, you're free to go. Because I know I'm a train wreck. And I can't expect you to keep pardoning me and forgiving me. And you're probably not here anyway, so. But interrupting my thought life, I saw all of a sudden a glimpse of myself kneeling on the ground alone. And then right in that instant, I saw the Lord Jesus come in and kneel down next to me. And just for the next 5 seconds, all that I saw was him putting his hand on my back. And that was it. And it broke me to think that the most holy being in the universe would be anywhere near someone like me. It was a turning point for me that I could fight this battle knowing that every time I stumble, I wouldn't have to worry about him being absent from my life. God is pleased with our baby steps. It wasn't for me until I got into college that something really changed, that I got to see a lot of progress made. I would just prioritize Jesus daily. I would sit with him. I would get to know him. I'd read his word. So it was a week that went by, and then 2 weeks that went by without getting back on the internet, and then 3 and 4. And then all of a sudden I turned around and it had been 6 months, which had never happened before. I was experiencing victory over lust. I was experiencing victory over gluttony. So I went from 260 pounds to 190 pounds. I dropped a shoe size. I met the girl who would eventually be my wife. And simultaneously, along with that, God was sort of blowing open the doors of favor in my music career. I began playing more concerts around my college town and made an independent CD, which 3 months after that, I got a phone call from the president of Impop Records in Nashville saying that they heard my music online and wanted to talk about signing me to their label. It's been 7 years since I was involved in pornography addiction. And it's been a beautiful thing to see the promises of God really coming through as I desire to flee my youthful lusts, like 2 Timothy 2:22 says, that he really does give me victory over it. I think it's important for me that folks understand, folks with any addiction understand that it doesn't have to be the thing that defines them, and it doesn't have to be the thing that's permanent. It is that simple, consistent pursuing of Jesus that ultimately led me to freedom.
So awesome to hear, you know, Jimmy Needham's testimony, and that's us. You know, we are Jimmy.
Yeah.
And I want you to be encouraged this morning that that can be your testimony. And you ask yourself, you know, what can you do? We can do what he did.
Mm.
He realized that he was powerless to do anything about it. He realized that he needed God.
Right.
He realized that this whole profession of faith that he told the image he gave of being a Christian, and that he had this relationship with God, that he loved God. He was honest with me.
Yeah.
He just said, not true. I got to get real here.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And he realized, I'm not loving him. I need, you know, and he started coming to that realization, when we can face those things, you know, I want to love him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he began the journey of truly loving God. And he began to cry out to the Lord. And he began to describe that how God's, you know, as he began to hide God's word in his heart, and it's called abiding. He began to abide with God.
Mm.
I mean, if you want to find out what Jimmy did, go to iabide.org and learn how to abide. And God works with you. God is real. He's right. The author of the Bible, and he will be with you when you hang out with him in his word. And so you need to cry out to God. You need to just get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Forget about what anybody else thinks. Realize the strategy of the adversary to take your ring if it's not taken already.
Right.
And God can give you back a ring, a robe, and sandals, and will kill the fatted calf, because he's excited to have a party for you, because he's excited that you've come to him or come back to him. Crying out to Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, set me free. You know, make Jesus the Lord of your life. You know what that means? He's the one in control. You are following him. He says left, and you go left. If you're having struggles with going left, you're still going left and asking him to empower you to go left, because mm-hmm. he's leading you. Get discipled. Listen, you need to, Jesus said, you follow my teachings, then you're really my disciple. Well, listen, you can't follow a teaching you don't know. So you need to get with somebody. Also at iabide.org, there's a simple way for you to begin discipleship. Right? It's called these Foundations of Faith booklets.
Right.
Or you can get with your pastor, wherever you are in your church, and just begin to be discipled. Or maybe the VFN Families for you, vfnfamily.org. You're going to have to get discipled, because then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It comes in the freedom of knowing Jesus and knowing his ways. That freedom comes in knowing God. Then ask God to begin to give you the right perspective of your sexuality. You can't mm-hmm. just shut it down. It's a natural appetite.
Right.
And it's going to be a process of doing that. Just like hunger, you have to begin to relate properly
mm-hmm.
to God and use food for substance. Don't use food for God. And don't use your sexuality for God,
mm-hmm.
as God, as a God. Bowing down to Dagon, Asheroth, and all those different things. And isn't it interesting that a junkie, you know, feels so much relief, totally stressed out, totally just maxed out, until he or she does the drug. And then all of a sudden it's like, I feel so much better now that I got it.
Mm-hmm.
A cutter.
Yeah.
Somebody who cuts themselves under great stress, under great pressure, all these things that are happening to them, and they take a knife, a razor, or whatever, and they cut their skin. And as soon as they damage the image of God, as soon as they hurt themselves,
mm-hmm.
they go, I just felt so much better. All of a sudden, when somebody's under all this stress with the bills and relationships and all these different things, and you're about at the end of yourself, and all of a sudden you go to the computer, you go to your iPad or your cell phones or televisions or whatever, theaters,
mm-hmm.
and you bow down before wrong sexual imagery. But all of a sudden, you say, I feel so much better.
Mm.
Just like the cutter, right?
Right.
The enemy just wanted you to bow down. He told Jesus the very same thing. He said, listen, if you bow down before me, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
in the wilderness, this is what Jesus said. If you bow down before me, that's all he wants you to do. Satan wants you to bow down before him. If you worship my God, if you worship me as God, Satan right. says, to Jesus, he said, I'll give you all these things. Why does everything feel better after you cut yourself? Why does everything feel better after you sin? Because that's bowing down to the adversary.
Right.
And all of a sudden, second heaven backs off. How could the pressure instantly be gone the second you sliced your skin? How could all this pressure be gone the second that you gorged out on 10,000 pounds of food?
Mm-hmm.
How can all of a sudden this pressure that was real be gone all of a sudden when you looked at wrong imagery on your televisions or computers or whatever? It's because you bowed down.
Right.
Zero tolerance. You need to get that because God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. In zero tolerance, you'll understand this with more depth, and it'll be a no-brainer to you. You'll understand it. But you say, I would never bow down. But isn't it interesting that Nebuchadnezzar gets off your back when you bow down before the graven image?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
It's amazing how that happened. Instead of saying, you know what? Even if you throw me in the furnace, I'm not going to bow down.
That's right.
And they were bound and they were tied. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were bound and thrown into the furnace, and it didn't even burn them.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that tied them were totally gone. All the ropes were gone. And their clothes didn't even smell like smoke, and Jesus was with them in the fire. Listen, don't let the pressure cause you to bow down to Satan.
Right.
But listen, you can't do this because you have some intellectual encounter with this. I'm talking, you got to know Jesus.
Right.
You got to abide with him. And we're telling you these things for a reason. That's why we're having this conversation, this continual conversation. We can do this thing with Jesus. And then we need to become accountable. We need to bring accountability in our life. You know, it doesn't matter what you're doing in your closet. It doesn't need to be in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this stuff about, well, the sin I'm doing in my closet is not the sin you're doing in your closet. They're both sin and they're both in the closet. You're going to have to bring it out in regards to bringing accountability and transparency to your life. There's great technology out there in regards to that. But, you know, the big thing is having a relationship with people. In Promise Keepers, you know, we built small men's groups. That was very effective. You got to get in a relationship with a few other people. With Vine Fellowship Network, we have small family churches for that very reason, that we can actually know each other, love each other, and kind of walk our lives out together. Mm-hmm. And you're helping me, not because that's the latest topic on a sermon. You're helping me because you actually love me,
right,
and you want me to make it.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty empowering. And you see when I'm about to go astray, you already know it before I even get there, and you help and you remind me and you encourage me. If you see my relationships out of order, you're talking to me about it because you love us both.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something, we got to be the family again, the family of God and the church as family. So you need to become accountable. And this is going to be available via VFN Torch, but so something like Covenant Eyes or Be Secure or software like that.
Right.
In addition to that, you know, there's a ministry called Heart to Heart by Doug Weiss, I believe, out there in Colorado Springs. It's a great ministry to begin to transition your life from the imagined intimacy you had in your life to the real intimacy you're supposed to have with people. Because if you've been, you know, in the movies and imagery and social networking and texting, but you haven't been physically talking to somebody, and when you text 10,000 miles an hour and you social media 7,000 miles an hour, but when you get in the room, you look to the ground and you don't know what to say, that's called dysfunction. You're actually, those are people that you were texting, those are human beings, and that you're social mediaing with, so you need to learn how to talk again to people. And he talks about this heart to heart. We'll make that available for you also on the VFN Torch. And you need to abide. You need to abide with the Lord. Well, I want to close out with a wisdom moment. You know, every day we share the wisdom moment, and it just so happens to be Proverbs chapter 5 today. And when you hear about we're going to share Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1 through 14. And it's so important because it's talking about the adulteress.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we understand, Jesus said, if you envision that in your heart, if you committed adultery in your heart, you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's don't think anymore about the actual commitment, because people actually are not wanting to get in any relationship with anybody.
Right. You know? Right.
They're in relationship with imagery. But the end result is hell if we don't turn around. We got to turn around. So let's listen now in the context of what he's saying, and this kind of sums it all up. The Word of God sums it up. The proverb today, the wisdom moment for today, is Proverbs 5, 1 through 14. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight. that you may maintain a discretion, and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress, of your computer, of your movie screen, of your iPad, of your drug, drips with honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharper than a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, but she doesn't even know it. Now then, my son, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to the path, far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Do not go near that device, that thing, that stuff, lest you give your best strength to others. Who are the others? 60 to 80 companies are making all this money on all this imagery. It's corporations.
Mm-hmm.
You're wondering why corporations are being humbled in America right now? Think about it.
Mm.
Wow. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give the best strength, your best strength to others, and your years to one who is cruel. Lest your strength is sapped. Lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enriches another man's house. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and your body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline. How my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin. And listen to this, church. In the midst of the whole assembly. This is to God's people. Let's wake up. There's hope in Jesus Christ. Well, God bless. We come to the end of the extra hour. Don't forget, you can find out more on the VFN Torch. All the details that we're talking about hopefully will be available on the VFN Torch today at some time. We're also 24/7. Don't forget, that's going to be coming up a little bit later today and tomorrow, of course, the marathon weekend. Find out more at VFNTV.com. God bless.